Our first scripture is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
You bells, and I'm so happy the children were in worship to get to watch you. We're continuing our sermon series on John. We're in John chapter 16, verses 25 to 33. Listen for the word of the Lord. I have said these things to you in figures of speech, said Jesus. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world, and I am going to the Father. His disciples said, "Yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure of speech." The disciples hated metaphor. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming, and indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will face persecution, but take courage. I have overcome the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. So when I was interviewing with the pastor nominating committee of this church, it was actually this sanctuary where I felt a sense of calling. So don't get me wrong, the people on the committee were awesome. I love you guys. The answers you gave and the stories you shared about the church were delightful, But it wasn't until I came into this sanctuary and it was all decorated for Pentecost that I really felt the Holy Spirit. And I was like, wow, I want to be the pastor at this amazing church in this amazing community of the people of God. I think I had never seen a church. I really had been in very few sanctuaries that are as beautiful as this one. I'd never been in a church that had clear windows. We have clear windows so we can see out onto creation and see the deer, and I loved that. I love our clear windows. I think if we had stained glass windows instead, I would feel like there were little like stained glass disciple eyes like staring at me all the service. So I love, that's one of the things I love about this sanctuary. But the sanctuary is really the heart of our church, and I want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone who dreamed up this sanctuary, who helped build it, who continues to give so that we can pay off the mortgage this fall, which is awesome. Thanks to those of you on property who helped maintain this sanctuary. This is just the center of our life, and I think it really talks a lot about who we are as a community. It shows people who we are when they come in here. We love creation. We love the deer that we can see outside. We can learn about who our community is by the like the paraments and the liturgical decorations, right? The banners on the wall. Someone in the congregation made this beautiful stole. The hands are hands of our congregation members and their children on our Lenten communion cloth. Even that tells you something about who we are in this sanctuary. The cozy size of the sanctuary, the foyer is so welcoming. It all talks about who we are as a church family. But I want to give you a word of caution this morning, because let us as a church family not get so wrapped up in this wonderful sanctuary that is extra wonderful on Ash Wednesday and Christmas Eve when it's filled with music and candlelight. Let us not get so in love with this sanctuary that we forget about the true sanctuary of this church. The true sanctuary of this church is all of us, the people of God, when we gather together as a place of refuge and protection, a true sanctuary where Jesus Christ shows up in our midst. That's the true sanctuary of this church. Not the building, but the second definition of sanctuary in Webster's dictionary, a place of protection and refuge. The true sanctuary is all of us as a place of welcome when people come to be among us and there they meet Jesus Christ. And so I was thinking about sanctuary this week. I went to a presbytery meeting with Elder Amy Brown and Caleb. We went to a presbytery meeting. We talked about sanctuary there. And so sanctuary was on my heart. And I thought about this psalm, Psalm 27. It's one of my favorite psalms. The author is looking for sanctuary. David wrote this psalm, and David's in a bad way. David is worried. David is anxious. He tells us he feels like an army is encamped around him. And maybe he was just speaking poetically, but he's in a bad way, and he cries out to the Lord. He says, Lord, do not hide your face from me. Hear my prayers. Take me to your sanctuary that I might be with you. And so I wanted to share with you again, thanks to Tonda King, who was our wonderful liturgist today, I want to share with you again verses 4 and 5. One thing I asked after the Lord that I will seek after, said David, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, sanctuary, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want sanctuary, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, sanctuary. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high above a rock, sanctuary. And so we have in this passage, David, he's looking for sanctuary. He wants a place of refuge where his heart can just be with the Lord. And then as I thought this week, I prayed over our scripture passage from John in our sermon series. We're at the end of John chapter 16. The disciples are in a bad way. It's the farewell discourse. Jesus is saying goodbye. He's entering Holy Week. And he says some tough words. He says, you all are going to be scattered, but peace I give to you. You will have trouble in this world, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The disciples too were going to be in a place where they needed sanctuary. They were going to have troubles. And Jesus said, but take heart, have my peace and be courageous. I have even overcome the world. And so when I sat with these passages this week, I prayed about the people who are in the starting places of these passages. People maybe in this congregation, but people out in our community and in our families who need refuge, who need sanctuary, who need a safe place to commune with God. And I thought about how our church might offer sanctuary to those people. You see, folks, I don't think that most people in our community are atheists or agnostics. They're just not. I mean, most people in our community, most people in our families, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, they're not atheists. They're not agnostics. They are people who believe in God. Many of them believe in Jesus Christ. They are people just like you or me that want to know that God loves them and that God cares about what they're going through. That's a basic human need. But many of these people never step foot in this sanctuary, right? But they still believe. They still believe in God. They still believe in our children, our grandchildren. They want a blessing from God. They want to know God has good plans for their life. They want to know about the Christian hope. They want someone to pray with them. All of these people, they are believers. They just don't step foot into this sanctuary because some of them are nuns and some of them are duns. And for some, they don't step into the sanctuary for reasons we don't know or don't understand. And you know what? I don't even care. I don't care why these people don't come into this sanctuary. I just want to know, how can we bring the sanctuary to them? Not the physical building, the community gathered where Jesus Christ shows up in our midst. See, I'm convinced that the true sanctuary is not a building. It's the people of God gathered, welcoming, a place of refuge where God shows up. And we are in the midst of a giant cultural change. We talk about it in this church, we call it the Great Emergence. It's not just in the life of the church. The whole culture is changing, and the church just has to change with it. In fact, that's why we're always a little behind. But I'm convinced that more and more people will come to Jesus and enter this sanctuary only when they experience Jesus Christ first in the sanctuary out there. We've got to be the sanctuary out there and let them experience Christ there before they ever come into this physical sanctuary here. That's just how it's going to be, gang. And we just have to embrace that. And so that's why I love the way our church talks about the church has left the building. And I hope in the future, when we talk about the sanctuary, we still can call this space the sanctuary. But I hope in the life and the language of our church life together, we start talking about the sanctuary of our community and how Jesus Christ shows up there. I hope we use both definitions of the word equally in the life of our church. I love how the church is leaving the building. I really believe in ministries like Holy Yoga. It doesn't meet in the sanctuary, but it's a place to connect with God in the fellowship hall. We have tons of visitors on Sunday afternoons. I love ministries like all the youth stuff that's happening in the beautiful youth loft. Our youth have to experience sanctuary together in that loft to make them more likely to experience sanctuary in here. I'm super excited about Gordon Butler's mental health ministry to people and their families with mental health issues. That's going to happen outside of the church, but we're praying the sanctuary they find in that community, they come here. I'm excited about Round Rock Family Night at the Christmas thing. On the first Friday of December, we go to Round Rock and we set up a booth for family Christmas night and we create this little sanctuary. I'm excited about that because we have got to make sanctuary happen outside of our church building as much as it happens in here. So in this passage, as Psalm 27 ends, the psalmist says, I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is one of my favorite Bible scriptures. And the goodness of the Lord is the same goodness of the Lord that's mentioned, as we shared in confirmation class last week, when God hides Moses in the cleft of the rock and God passes by. Moses saw the goodness of the Lord. And so the psalmist is saying, I want to see God. I want to see God like Moses saw God in the land of the living, in this earthly life. And so I've experienced that with this church, and I want to remind you what that looks like. So A few years ago, we had a women's group that would meet at the Brass Tap in Round Rock. And I would love to do that again. Let's start doing that again. And it, like, bring your friends kind of thing. So there's like four people I didn't even know. And we're gathered together. And this woman starts to pour out her heart. And she starts talking about how difficult her life is and all of her struggles. And I purposely did not say anything. Zipped it. And I watched as all of you formed a sanctuary around her. And you listened to her story. And you encouraged her. And you spoke words of hope and wisdom to this woman. And I sat there and I thought, holy cow, Jesus Christ just walked into a bar at Round Rock. It was sanctuary. And then there's a couple in our church a few weeks ago. They invited me to meet with another couple that's in their life. This couple were church goers, but they don't go very often anymore. And this church member couple said to me, would you go visit our friends? And so I went with the wife, who's a church member, and I went to visit this couple at their house. And they are going through one of the worst life crises possible. They are in financial crisis. They're in medical crisis. It was horrible, and yet it was such a blessing to be with them. When we showed up, you could just tell that they were in need of some God-bearing, which is when we're just with people as the presence of God in their midst. You could tell they needed some holy words, that they just needed us to show up and say, yes, God hears you. God is with you in this. We prayed with them before they left, and you know what the husband said? He said, no one has prayed with us in so long. We have not had anyone pray with us in so long. Thank you for coming. Thanks for the prayer. That was sanctuary right in that person's house. That's what we're about. We're about making sure that we are a sanctuary, a place of welcome, a place of refuge, that people see God right here in the land of the living. So let us be the goodness of God in the land of the living. Please join me in the prayer of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all of the faithful from every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.